Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for the Friday gathering, and I'm joined by Seamus McGrath, who's Fianna Fáil TD for Cork South Central and the party spokesperson on housing. Marie Sherlock is here, Labour TD for Dublin Central. Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. And Brenda Power, who's a journalist and commentator. And you're all welcome. Thank you for being here. So Brenda, we've the energy prices going up, grocery inflation still going up. Now every homeowner is being asked as of this week to revalue their house for property tax. And that's the first time that's happened since 2021. Are you feeling fleeced?
Tell me about it. I just looked at what my estimate is. I mean, it for the local property tax. I mean, it really is a big blow, especially at this time of year, and with absolutely nothing done for people like me in the budget, people who get up early in the morning.
Well, now they'll be saying, oh, sure, she lives in Dublin now. She's a fine big house and she can well afford it.
I don't think that is an acceptable reason for just simply fleecing people, frankly. It's really inexcusable how little was done for people who actually work. I mean, you're punished if you try to better yourself in this country. You own your own home, you've worked hard to pay for it. Let's see what we can scam off you.
Do you think that's fair, Seamus?
Well, I suppose the context of the budget was difficult. I mean, the government came under a lot of advice from the likes of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, the Central Bank and so on to try and rein in spending. Even with that, there was an €8 billion increase in spending in the budget. So spending is at €117 billion per annum. It's very significant.
Mm-hmm. And that's as may be, but you take Brenda's point. Like, all of these things are coming together and you do feel like it's everything is going out. You're not getting anything back.
No, I take the point. Of course I do. I suppose what the government had to do was try and focus on those who needed it most. We've seen figures in relation to children in poverty, for example. So it was very much a budget about the future in terms of investment in capital and infrastructure and trying to lay the groundwork for a good, strong economy going forward, but also trying to target measures at those who needed it most. So you look at things like the fuel allowance, for example, the broadening of that. We did retain the VAT reduction in the energy costs, which is significant. That retains at 9%. Mm-hmm. But it was a budget about trying to prioritise the key focus of government, which is about housing, for example, and I know we'll talk about that later. Really huge investment in the infrastructure in line with the revised National Development Plan.
Okay, but on the property tax, Marie, Labour supports the property tax, right? In theory, am I right?
Well, we support a lot of taxes because ultimately, it's not about punishing people. It's ultimately we need services in this country, whether it's housing, health, roads, our education system. And one of those taxes happens to be the local property tax.
But how do you feel about the timing now of the revaluation?
And the timing is crap. And November is an awful time to have a revaluation anyway, coming up to Christmas. But we have to put in context here, right? We've had three postponements of this over the last decade. So Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have played politics with the timing of this, scheduled to be after an election, whether it was 2016, whether it was the one that was supposed to be in 2019, and now we have it a year after an election. And I suppose time and again this year we have seen that there were effectively the electorate was bought last year in the general election, in the budget we had last year, and then we see the one-off payments that were made last year dramatically withdrawn. We see fees. There's a cut, obviously, for third level fees. But, Seamus talks about, straightened times and all of that. And yet we've managed to, the government has doled out over €670 million in tax breaks with not a scintilla of evidence that it's actually going to work. So whether that's the VAT cut for developers, the corporation tax cut for developers, or the VAT cut for a small number of the hospitality sector. So, it's about choices. And the government last week made a very particular choice to prioritise small number of people in big business over the people that we want to talk about, which are people who go to work every morning and work really hard and yet saw nothing for them in the budget.
But can I just say, on the issue of the property tax as well, I mean, it is about penalising people because, if the value of your house has gone up much more than say what you paid for it, because there's a housing crisis which is pushing property prices up because of demand and the lack of supply. You're penalised for that with these new valuations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my house is probably not worth any more. You know, the value of it has no real value to me.
You're not going to realise it, is what you're saying. And prices have gone up on average by 35%.
But if the price so does my tax. No benefit to me.
You have to look in Dublin City Council. For 75% of those paying, the increase is going to be somewhere between 18 and 83 euros. Right. Now, you know, people obviously live in different parts of the country.
Yeah.
But that is still an increase. And to me, that is crap for a lot of people. When you put it in top of all the other things that the government have failed to do in this budget. So, ultimately, you know, there are people who are going to be opposed to property tax. I take a different view that if we want good public services, then it has to be one of the many taxes that are out there.
Can I, just in relation to the property tax, I mean, the government has taken the approach to reduce the impact as much as possible. So house prices have gone up significantly. We know that. And what was announced last April was a significant widening of the house bands, for example. So over 96% of people will stay in the same band in terms of the value of their house, despite the fact that there's been significant increases. The base rate has gone up. The increase is approximately 5 to 6%. So for most households with a value of under 1.2 million, for example, the increase will be of the order of maybe 10 to 25 euro per year. So I'm not saying it's insignificant, but I do think we have to put this in perspective. Internationally, by international standards, Ireland, we pay very low property tax. That's the reality of the situation. Property tax is an essential source of funding for local authorities, for councils around the country. I served on a council up until last autumn, and I understand the importance of it to provide key services, develop playgrounds, you know, street cleaning, the key focus of what local authorities do. None of us like paying taxes, but we have to broaden our tax base in this country. We've seen significant commentary around the volatility of our tax base, for example, around corporation tax and so on like that. So if we don't broaden it, we are going to run into trouble down the road. And, you know, Marie was honest in terms of their position on local
property tax. Broaden
it
in one respect, but then reduce it when it comes to the VAT take from hospitality, which many people don't understand, Harry. I don't know if you'd agree with that, that people are still wondering, well, what was that about, and will it achieve what the government says it was about, which was to save part of that sector?
Yeah, well, that was a political decision, as Marie said, that the government did have choices in relation to how it would allot the portion of income that, or the expenditure that would be going to tax, and that seems to have taken up most of it. Just in relation to property tax, I mean, property tax was introduced in Ireland once the Troika came in, and during the Celtic Tiger, the tax base was extraordinarily narrow, and we were relying on income tax and also loads of transactional taxes that all collapsed when the banks collapsed and when the property bubble collapsed. So it was the Troika that recommended that we introduce a property tax, which is a wealth tax, in other words, to try to extend the tax base. And I think the rationale behind it is very solid. I think Seamus is right in one respect. The actual tax take from it is very low in proportion to the value of properties. But again, you know, when families have got nothing in the budget to be hit a few weeks after the budget with a re-evaluation, and to have the double whammy of getting no once-off payment in 2025, 2026, and then facing an additional tax at the end of the year when Christmas is approaching and kind of schools are back and kind of budgets are slightly tight, is not going to go down as a popular measure with any person in the public.
I think that's fair to say.
So the government have taken decisions. I think this is the first year of the electoral cycle, so I don't think it's surprising that the government will draft an unpopular budget. I think the budgets that we will see closer to 2029, 2030 will be slightly more generous in terms of what's been offered.
It's all very cynical, isn't it?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, that sometimes you have to take decisions that aren't crowd pleasers. And I think that the IFAC and the Central Bank and the ESRI have been saying for a number of years, you know, that these once-off payments have to stop because they're coming from corporation tax and they're not sustainable in the long run. And I think the government were determined to do that this year. But the difficulty was for them is that once they did it this year, it was going to have knock-on consequences.
Yeah.
And I think the choice, I mean, the tax breaks for developers and the VAT things are political decisions that the government have taken, and they have the reasons for taking them, but they're not very popular with a lot of people because people think that there's an inherent unfairness in them in relation to the population in general, who seem to think that who are under the impression that they're going to have to pay for all of this while other people they think are undeserving will be afforded breaks.
Now, I see Aintu have announced in the last little while that they're not going to bring this motion of no confidence in the government now, which Padraig Tobin had threatened they would do. They say that they're going to use that time instead for other business. Motions of no confidence, they say, should be used sparingly, and they feel that they achieved their aims when the motion of confidence was discussed this week in the Thánaiste. Seamus, I'm sure you welcome that decision from Aon Thu and Pádraig Tobin.
I do welcome that decision, and it is true to say motions of confidence shouldn't be doled out that easily. They should be used sparingly and for good reason. And obviously, we all understand the background to this particular motion of confidence, and we all, you know, feel for the families that have been impacted so badly in relation to the failure of paediatric health services, and we all understand that. I suppose what I can say is that the motion of confidence this week will do nothing to improve services, will do nothing to improve the situation families find themselves in, where they have children waiting for surgeries, for example. The government is determined to put every resource possible into this, including, you know, operations taking place abroad, and up to 19 children have had operations taking place abroad successfully, which is very welcome. There are new consultants being employed. There is a significant amount of resources being put into this. Children's Health Ireland will be integrated into the HSE fully, which I think is a good thing from a government's point of view.
This motion, though, was about putting pressure on the government to keep the focus on those matters so that things would move along. And they feel that they have done that, that they have achieved that.
No, look, I think things have been moving along. I mean, the Thánaiste did meet, you know, families in relation to this. There will be continuous engagement in relation to this. There is a commitment that matters will be inquired into in more detail in terms of what failures took place in the past. But we have to look to the future and trying to ensure that no other family goes through what families have gone through in the past. And there is no shortage of resources to resolve this issue. I've sit on the Public Accounts Committee. I've interrogated Children's Health Ireland. I've interrogated the HSE up to as recently as yesterday. Paediatric services have to significantly increase and improve. Obviously, the Children's Hospital, we may come to it in a minute, but it will start procedures next year. It will be a hospital of over 450 beds for children. It will significantly change services in relation to paediatric health, and that's so vitally important, and the government is fully committed to that.
Okay. Marie, do you agree with what Aon Thu have decided to do now in not having this motion of no confidence next week?
Well, I suppose ultimately by announcing it earlier in this week, the government preempted and had that debate on Wednesday. The reality is that we in the Labour Party, of course, don't have confidence in the government, and it has been a shambles what has happened in Children's Hospital Ireland, or Children's Health Ireland, in terms of the how those children, some of those vulnerable children, have been cared for. And ultimately, that debate took place because of a very foolish commitment made by then Minister Harris to parents about the care of their children. But yet he did not make sure that those conditions would be in place that those kids would get the right surgery. And so at this point in time, I still don't have full confidence that CHI can get its act together to provide the care to the children that badly need it. Mm-hmm. Like, the reality is, I think that there has been a delaying or a postponing of the key actions that need to be taken within CHI because they're moving into the new Children's Hospital. But the new Children's Hospital will hopefully happen at the end of next year. It may go into 2027. Very clear changes with regards to clinical governance, with regards to management, need to be taken now. Some of those decisions have been taken, but not all. Like, Seamus talked about the 19 children who have been sent abroad, right, for surgery. We were told far more than that would go to either New York or London. And there are concerns that no child will go next year abroad.
We've heard about this on the programme, though, Marie. There are often clinical reasons why that can't happen.
Oh, no. And I totally respect that. Right, but when I talk to the families who have been given, whose children have been told they need to have surgery, but have been given no date and no communication, no offering of an alternative with regards to going abroad, that is a fundamental problem. And there are families right now in this country who are in that situation. Mm-hmm. There's still an awful lot of work to be done in ensuring that those children with spina bifida and scoliosis get the timely treatment that they need. It is great that there is going to be an inquiry, because the legacy of Harvey Morrison Sherratt, and indeed other children like Dulciana Carter and other children who have died or who are now inoperable, has to be that there is a better health system. But we need to ensure that there is going to be the full participation by clinicians in CHI and indeed within the political system.
James, you want another word on this?
Children being treated abroad. There were 54 children at the end of last year waiting 4 months or more, and that's unacceptable, and we want to get that number down. But each one of those cases has been examined carefully, and there were genuine reasons why treatment abroad wasn't suitable, as you said, Claire, in terms of clinical reasons and so on like that. In some cases it was by choice, but each one of those cases is getting a priority. We need to drive that number down, and we need to drive it down fast, and that is what the government is focused on doing.
Okay, just on the Children's Hospital, I mean, we did hear this week that there will be another delay. You mentioned the end of 26, but you believe now that it could be 2027 before that is operational.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, there is no clear date for the handing over of the hospital for the commencement of the commissioning process. It was supposed to be obviously this year, and we have heard no date other than that we're now into the latest delay. Mm-hmm. And this back tit for tat between the Department of Health and the Paediatric Development Board and BAM, and of course €880 million worth of claims that were not quite clear what's going to happen. But the reality is that, you know, it's going to be quite a compressed commissioning period anyway of 9 months to get it all done within the 9 months. And if it doesn't happen, you know, I suppose at the start, at the end of this year and right into the start of 2026, then we're looking at foregoing the winter of 2026 and it'll be opening in 2027. Okay. There's huge issues with regards to planning for staffing, and of course there's equipment already in the hospital, and there's warranties that I have concern about where they stand.
Well,
now,
BAM is saying that the hospital is more than 99% complete and has always been adequately resourced. They say that their focus is on facilitating early access to the hospital in early November of this year so that CHI can begin the commissioning process.
Well,
Harry?
I remember Leo Varadkar saying back in 2016 that the hospital would be completed by the end of that year unless a meteorite hits the earth.
Uh-huh.
You know, almost a decade later, we're still not there.
It's extraordinary.
I mean, I think people have to be realistic about hospitals. People think about Victorian hospitals that went up very quickly. Mm. But I mean, constructing a hospital like this is like constructing a spaceship. Mm. It's not just the building, it's the whole IT systems, it's the sterilised, you know, there are lots of specialised units that have to be done, and it is quite a complicated process.
Well, there is that, and I think most people would accept that, but all the back and forth,
the lack of foresight. And the thing is that, like a lot of projects in Ireland, they procure a thing, they lowball the procurement, so they come in at a particular price, and then they realise that there's extra stuff to be put on top, and then there's extra designs to be done, and all of those delay the process because you have to go for planning, you have to bring in more design consultants, and then more and more has to be done. And this has been a classic example of a low-balling project.
Well, this
it started off as a modest project and then became more complicated year after year, layer upon
can
layer.
Can I just say, Claire, we had the HSC before the public accounts yesterday, and yes, there has been an extension of 2 months from BAM in terms of the substantial completion date, but the HSC has assured us there will be procedures carried out in the hospital next year. Initially, we were told it would start in June. It will be on a phased basis, obviously, but they are trying to interrogate now what this delay means in terms of will it be June or will it be a few weeks later, but it is all about early access now. It is all about equipping the hospital, getting staff in place, but they absolutely gave us a resolute assurance there will be treatment start next year.
Listen, I'm watching the clock, but I do want to ask you, Seamus, have you been able to find out when the new updated Housing for All plan is going to be published?
Yeah, there will be an updated Housing for All plan in the coming weeks. I expect it will be in the next 1 to 2 months. I think
it's 8 weeks away, is
can
it?
Can I just say that it's 1 to 2 months away. It is being finalised. We need to get it right. But Claire, I just want to be very resolute in this. We're not waiting on that plan. This minister brought about a significant amount of change since he took office 9 months ago, and I could list them out, a huge amount of initiatives.
No, don't list them out.
The plan is being rolled out effectively, but there will be an announcement in terms of updated targets and so on. And
is there anything substantially new in it?
Well, the substantial thing is the record funding that is being put into housing, and there's over 9 billion in this budget allocated for housing. That is record funding in the history of the state. There will be new measures in the plan, but as I say, the plan is an update at a point in time. The plan has been effectively released gradually over the last number of months in terms of the initiatives that this minister has brought to reforming the planning system, you know, giving a greater role to the Land Development Agency, for example, securing record funding,
and
the revised National Development Plan in terms of increased infrastructural development so that we can unlock some of the blockages to development.
Brenda, I'd say you're excited about the supercharged Housing for All plan coming.
I mean, you know, my son, who's 30, is renting a flat, has just been told he has to move out because the property is being sold. And we were just talking about housing. And he said, look, I do not expect I will ever be able to buy a house. I mean, that is outrageous. That is an outrageous position. And I take on board what Seamus is saying and the initiatives that have been planned, things like the derelict properties plan and so on. But I mean, the reality is for people like him, there really is no end in sight. There is no relief in sight.
Because of the rent he's paying, he can't probably save a whole lot towards
it. No, and he's got to look for somewhere else to rent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I all of these initiatives, they're really not landing with people as a potential solution to what they see on the ground, which is the difficulty of being able to afford a house, move out from your parents' home, find a place to rent that has any stability of tenure. I share his pessimism, to be honest.
Mm. And the thing is, like, there is a huge amount of money being spent on housing, but what it has been spent on is the critical question. Like, I'm looking here in Dublin, you know, and a huge amount of the additional social housing that has been delivered is through the very expensive acquisition of turnkey apartments that are being built by developers originally intended for the private sector and now being bought up by Dublin City Council because they're in such a desperate situation. So there's a huge, and of course, the vast amount of money that has been spent on HAP as well. So look, I think there's a degree of panic obviously happening within government with regards to their housing action plan. Like, we were promised it in July, then we were told in September it would be within a month. Now we're hearing it could be another month or two again. And the thing is, there has been a huge pattern of under delivery of social housing. Like, we were talking about the LPT earlier. The reason why house prices are going up is because we have an ever increasing population chasing after a smaller number of houses coming to the
just
market.
Just a 10-second response.
10 seconds. I mean, look, the key point, we're not waiting on this plan. Things are happening. And it's not fair to represent that social houses are being bought. There were over 8,000 newly built social houses last year. There will be over 10,000 built next year, and it's budgeted for. The money is there. Okay. We have to reform the system to ensure we can get delivery. That's
all
the
right,
key point.
I have to leave it there or we'll be impeding on lovely Louise's time. Thank you very much for listening.